Hi, this is Marlena Lieber welcoming you to Blind Spot. Blind Spot is a series of programs heard this time each week on ACB Radio where we talk no-tech, low-tech kinds of things. If you've got an idea for something you'd like to hear on Blind Spot, why not drop me an email? My email address is Marlena, that's M-A-R-L-A-I-N-A, at acbradio.org. Hello, and welcome to Blind Spot. This is Marlena Lieberg speaking. This week, our guest is someone who I will actually get to know at the same time the audience gets to know. Robert Leslie Newman is someone who sent me a very intriguing email about a listserv that he runs. Is it actually a listserv, Robert?
Well, no, it's not. It's kind of a modified email forum where email comes to me, and then I go through it and compile the responses and put them together and send them out in a single message. So, no, it's really, I think, something a step above, in a sense, that sort of thing, because they're just, you get less mail in your inbox, but what you get, there's a lot to it.
It's pretty quality stuff. I went on your website and looked at it. Why don't I let you tell people a little bit about what is Thought Provokers?
Okay. All right, first of all, let me tell you about the larger picture. I have a website. It's called Adjustment to Blindness and Visual Impairment. And it has two main features, which Thought Provoker is the crowning feature in my eyes, and we'll get to that in a second. The other smaller portion of it is short stories. And again, everything with this website has to do with blindness and people, their adjustment to it. And how I get to that is through two of my passions, and then I'll actually get into Thought Provoker. My two passions are the following. Helping people learn about their ability to cope with blindness, because it's something I had to learn at age 15. We'll get to that in a little while. And I'm a vocational counselor. I've been working in rehab for over 27 years, plus I've been involved with various consumer groups. So, again, that's a passion, is helping all of us just, again, know better our potential to deal with it. And then I blend that with my hobby, another passion of writing stories, fiction.
Ah.
So, again, that's where the website comes from. And the features of Thought Provoker and the smaller section of the short stories, they're all dealing with short stories. Again, the smaller section of the website is kind of longer short stories from 1,000 words up to 6,000 words. There are 8 of them on there at present, and I have several more I need to get there, and I've got several novels I'm working on that eventually will get there. Again, all do with blindness, all main characters are blind. But again, Thought Provoker, it deals with super short stories. All these little Thought Provokers are, well, majority of them are less than 300 words. So again, what I do is I encapsulate an issue of blindness in these short stories, hopefully in a provocative way.
Give us a sample of one of those issues.
Okay, I'll actually share with you the first Thought Provoker that's up there, number one. It's called Blindness and Sharks. And if I can get it from memory here, it goes like this. It's the torpedo-shaped fish circled and circled in the desktop aquarium. My friend was showing me his new pet shark. He's not a true miniature. He's just small because of the size of the tank I keep him in. If we let him go out to sea, he'd grow to his species' normal size. Interesting, I said, thinking that I'd share with him all what I was thinking on it, weird or not. It puts me in mind of some blind people I know. What do you mean, my friend asked. So, again, that was one that people still to this day are responding to. Because I have 37 Thought Provokers at this point in time on the website, and it's archived. They're all archived up there. But archived in the sense that they're all there, one after the other, and they can be read. And I get people responding to them all the time. Just even this first one, which was written 2 Septembers ago, that's when my website went up, was in September of 98. And even as of last week, I had someone writing in with a response to Blindness Sharks. So again, they're there for everyone to read. All the responses that I have received in relation to each one are listed there, and they're just, one right after the other, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And again, they're there to be read, to be studied, to be learned from, and to be added to. So again, Thought Provoker is a little little bitty short stories to try to get to that issue, that little something that will provoke some thought, and hopefully for folks to learn something new by.
And could you give us the website?
The URL is falcon.creighton.edu/VIP.
You know, when I first saw your email to me, I was absolutely intrigued, and I was reminded of something that I posted on a listserv, a question about how people feel when others do things differently. For instance, do you get embarrassed if someone wants their meat cut? And if you do, why? And do you feel embarrassed to ask for that kind of help? And if you do, why? And, oh, it sparked such a huge discussion. And I was very happy to learn that the discussion was actually quite positive. And I'm wondering if Thought Provokers deals with those kinds of things, the kind of the okayness of blindness.
It definitely does do that. In fact, you know what, as you were speaking of, visiting my website and looking down through the, I looked at the ACB radio website, and I went to, again, where, by demand, the where the shows are, you know, Miller Time and then Blind Spot. And again, your shows are very similar to what I've got. If you think about it, you've got a whole bunch of them listed down that you've done over the months, and each one of them deals with a different issue, dealing with blindness. So, in a sense, you're doing the same darn thing I am, but of course you're doing it through this verbal medium. And so, yeah, just as you have different subjects where you're trying to get things out of people to share over the air like this, some of mine, one of mine has to do with, help. When is it too much or not enough? What would you rather be, deaf or blind? Sleep shades, when should they be used? Can a blind guy be a travel instructor? One of them is called Canes and Dogs. Why did you choose the mode of travel you did? In fact, that one of all the Thought Provokers thus far has gotten the most response. There was 108, I think, on the website at this point in time. Most of them have, 30 to 60, kind of in that range. And again, they're slowly building all the time. But I think digging into some of the things that we do and why, getting into kind of philosophical things, maybe having someone examine, this other person's able to do so and so, they're able to do it. Well, why not me? Then maybe they'll seek some further instruction from a blind friend or a professional. So yeah, it can provoke some wonderful thought and action, huh?
If you sit down with a group of blind folks, at least it's my experience, inevitably, if you sit there long enough and you talk long enough, somebody's going to say something like, it feels really good to be able to talk about this kind of thing. And what intrigues me here is that here is yet another space where we can, in fact, sit down and talk with each other about how it feels. And not only how it feels, but how do you do it? How do you make this thing happen?
It really does. I think all of our listserv is a wonderful forum. Again, this type of show is a wonderful forum. And like you say, when blind people just get together and sit and talk, we get down to talking about blindness. So as I got onto the internet and got to be kind of computer literate, I started looking around the internet to see what's out there, and again, thinking of my own desire to get published in a sense, to get out there and make an impact. I kind of, again, looked to see what was going on, and I came up with this blend of things. I guess I feel I've got a unique niche, and the way I liken my website and Thought Provoker part is where a listserv like BlindX or NFB Talk or the AER, I'm on several of these listservs, so I can see how they all kind of go. And they will get topics, and they'll have several going at once, and they'll kind of ebb and flow, kind of almost like a river and eddies and things, where, again, my approach was, I want to get these things out there. I want to put them together. I want to make sure everything's on topic. So I'm only going to put out one issue at a time, and that's what people are going to talk about. And I'm going to list them one right after the other. So the way I see mine is, it's almost like my website is a book, like Thought Provoker is a book, and each Thought Provoker per se is like a chapter within that book. And it's probably the only place on the web, and or probably in hard copy, that you can really find so many varied, but yet there's a web of, you'll hear some negative stuff, you'll hear a lot of positive stuff. And I think what finally comes down to what is written there under East Thought Provoker is a really human, uplifting realization of, you know, what we really truly can do if we put our minds to it. So, again, I think I've got a unique little niche here where, no, listen, I've got people that are emailing me that they're using my Thought Provokers, like, in training new staff at rehab agencies, in schools for the blind with staff and or with students. I've got people that are using the Thought Provokers, the responses, to write their master's thesis. Another gentleman, I used it in part of his doctoral thesis, that whole big thing he wrote. I've got, it's just, got a little feedback there. But again, what we're putting together, folks like you and I, some folks that are really experienced with all this, and some people that are new at it, and even sighted folks right in, is they're giving us that wonderful blend that just kind of puts it all together.
Yeah.
And really what kind of comes to the top is really the positiveness about how we really can live with this loss of vision. And it's helping a lot of folks, I think.
What's one of the most memorable or moving responses that you've received? Obviously leaving names of people out, but what would move you the most?
When someone writes and says, hey, I've been struggling with my blindness, with coming out of the closet with it, you know, and now I'm able to talk about it because I see that other people talk about it, you know, to their family and their friends, and maybe someone now is starting to use a cane or they didn't before, or they're going to go for a dog, or again, they would stumble around and try to hide their blindness, or a parent would write in and say something like, now I kind of better understand what my teenager is talking about with their blindness, or another family member will talk about how they now kind of better understand what their mother's going through. So what's interesting, you know, again, my profession is a vocational rehab counselor with the Nebraska Commission for the Blind. Now, I have a caseload there, of course, is my job where I'm getting paid, but here on the Internet, I'm also carrying an international caseload of folks that are writing in, and they're asking me, you know, how do you do this? How do you do this? I feel this way, I feel that way. So I usually will have like 3 to 6 different folks that I'm kind of email counseling with. So I do get a lot of that kind of response, a lot where someone's hit that little realization spot. Oh, it makes sense now. I can do this, I can do that.
What? Why do you do this? This must take a phenomenal amount of time.
Oh, it's, I kind of averaged it out in terms of, you know, keeping track of the time I spend. I spend anywhere about 20 hours a week, I suppose, you know, working on this stuff, managing the website and the writing and all that kind of stuff. And I could probably put more time in, but, you know, I've got a life, too. I've got family, you know, a daughter. So it's just, it gives me purpose. It gives me outlet for creativity that I feel that I have in me. So it gives me warm fuzzy. So it does some wonderful things just for me.
Yeah, that's kind of why I do Blind Spot, actually.
Okay.
I also have a wonderful opportunity to meet people like you and kind of broaden my own understanding of what's happening both in the sighted world, but almost more importantly at times in the world of blindness around me. And that's so important. It's so that the kind of relating that we can do with one another is just critical to me.
And what's also wonderful, too, is and these people we're meeting, they're from around the world. You know, like in my forum, right now I've got just a little over 400 people in it. I've got, I was just kind of on my fingers here a little while ago. I've got people from 17 different countries. I've got all the continents, you know, all five continents are covered, you know, 17 different countries. So I'm getting to know some people, blind folks, and professionals from other countries, as to kind of how it is for them.
That's neat.
That is pretty
neat. That's
awesome,
neat.
Yeah.
Well, have you been blind all of your life?
I was in a car accident at age 15. So I had, you know, perfect vision up to that point in time. And then after that, I characterize it now as I have double-eye blindness. And a lot of times I'll say, well, if you really want to know what I see, just I see just as good out of the back of my head as I do the front. There you go.
That's very good.
Yeah.
I often try to get the concept across that, that what I see is absolutely nothing. It's not dark. It's not light. It's just nothing. And that's a really difficult concept for some people to grasp. So you became blind at age 15.
Yep.
And did you go through the typical rehab thing, and how did it change you?
My experience wasn't real positive. You know, the rehab agency here at that time in Nebraska wasn't very strong. It was kind of like, let's all do what we can do for all your blind people, you know, we'll do for you. So they really didn't do a whole lot in terms of vocational counseling or placement, that kind of stuff. The school I went to, it's changed since then, thank God, the school for the blind here in Nebraska. In fact, they really, in a sense, don't have one. They call it, oh, it's a big long name, the Center for Blind and Visual Impaired Children. It's a whole bunch more words than that. It's like a center thing now. Anyway, back when I went there, it was kind of a closed-in little society, and I learned to be a blind person amongst the blind. I learned the old pecking order, who had the most sight, usually kind of did more things. In fact, the rules were, you know, the partially sighted, they could go off the campus with a totally blind. You know, the partially sighted could go off by themselves, and the totally blind had to have someone with them. So you just kind of learned all of that sort of stuff. So when I came out of there, there was really no counseling to speak of. So when I said, well, I still think going blind is bad, but going to the school is worse. And then the rehab agency here wasn't good then, so I didn't get any help from them to speak of. Oh, they sent me to a trade school where I learned to become a massage therapist. And I worked in a YMC for a couple of years. That was good. But again, I wanted to do something a little bit different, so I came back and went to college. So my experience in the early days wasn't so good. So my blindness, I think, was kind of a struggle. And I think that partially is what now motivates me and has motivated me to do rehab and to do teaching. You know, as I say, I've been here for over 27 years now. It was just 17th of last month was my 27th anniversary.
Wow.
I'll tell you what, I still like Mondays.
Wow.
Yeah, I still like them.
That's wonderful. That is a refreshing statement to hear. I've been here for 27 years, and I still like Mondays.
Someone has to put that into a song.
Well, I think you should have a poster for over your desk.
Oh, not bad, come think, but okay.
Yeah, it's a blind spot creation.
I'll have to put that in parentheses at the bottom, right?
Well, now, could you tell us a little bit about the books that you're working on?
Well, okay. I've got five of them right now. One of them actually is finished, but it needs to be rewritten. It's kind of like a James Michener type of approach to blindness. Because one of the things I learned when I was going to college was, this is like an anthropology class, is that humankind has kind of gone through four major eras of kind of how they react to disability. That is extermination, persecution, institutionalization, and normalization. So this particular book, the first half deals with those first three, and then the last half deals with the normalization bit. So I go from like caveman days up to like the golden era of the Greek society, what it was like then for the disabled. You know, you're able to live, but you really had no rights. And of course, back in the caveman days, when times got tough, you were the first to be put out, you know, on the hillside type of thing.
Oh, yeah, in the little baskets.
Yeah.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep.
And then the institutionalization bit, I kind of took the School for the Blind here, and like in the 1918s when it had all this little crafts that it would teach the blind folks. And people were just starting to kind of get together and starting to kind of think of what they needed to do to kind of go into the next phase, and that's the normalization. And that whole second half has to do with a week in the life of a blind rehab counselor, all the different people that he interacts with, the employers, people on the street, new clients coming in, old, young, you know, experienced people, all that. So that's one. Then I've got another one that I have a kind of a main person that kind of runs through all of these. His name is Samuel Patrick. He kind of is also like a little sleuth type of private eye kind of guy on the side. Well, anyway, the next one has to do with a deaf guy that's going blind due to Usher's type 2. That's where you're born deaf. Well, no, you're... Actually, he's type 1, pardon me, where he's born deaf and he starts to have the RP type stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's really freaking out and the rehab counselor's dealing with this guy's adjusting to his blindness, but he always feels that there's something else going on with this guy. I don't know if I should tell you at the end, but this guy, he's really dealing with, he's a werewolf.
Wow!
But he's always been able to suppress it, but now he's starting to lose it, and he's starting to kind of let the animal come out. So I kind of do a little, some parallels, and so that's kind of fun. That's kind of interesting. Then I'm working with another one here. I just been kind of working with it over the Christmas break and stuff, and it's kind of like a week long program for older persons that are you know, dealing with their blindness, and there's a murder that goes on during it. And you don't know that in the beginning, but you find that out at the end. And,
wow.
And some people think it has to do with blindness, but really it didn't. So that's another one. Then, I've got, geez, now you're almost making me draw a blank. There's a couple more that, again, all the main characters are blind and they're dealing with life and they're just not.
And will these be published?
Well, hopefully, yeah.
Well, you must promise me that you will let me know when any are, and yeah. I will make the grand announcement on Blind Spot.
Hey, you know, if you want to get the word out, is this guy here is looking for funding so that I could spend. I would love to get the commission that I now work for. We just became a commission back in July. But, you know, as a commission, we just have a little bit more latitude to do some things. So if I could ever find the right kind of funding, I would say, hey, boss, I've got this funding so I could now. They do support me with all that I do. Let me spend my time with my creative stuff, and of course the money I'm bringing in will of course give us money to do more besides just pay my salary to do this. So yeah, if you know so many folks, any folks out there that have any idea for like creative grants, you know, for this sort of thing, using the internet to do this counseling, to do this education, to anyway, that sort of thing. So I'm looking around for that.
Well, why don't you also give us your email address?
Oh, very good. Okay. So it is Newman, N-E-W-M-A-N-R-L, because it's Robert Leslie. So NewmanRL at att.net.
That's Newman, N-E-W-M-A-N-R-L, at att.net.
Yes.
Well, Robert, as we start to wrap up here, if we have anyone in the audience listening who perhaps is just losing their sight or who perhaps has been blind for a while but not really bitten it off and chewed it up yet.
Or wants to help others that aren't quite there.
That's right.
That too.
What might you say to someone like that?
We humans are intelligent and are adaptive, and this blindness game is an old one. It's been around, and we have whipped it. You just don't know it yet, and it's there within you. Don't let a small thing like this get in the way of the larger beauty of life. You just can't afford it. You can't allow the blindness to rule. You just can't.
Boy, I really love that philosophy. I took a lot of flack on one of the listservs once for saying that I thought my blindness was a gift.
It can be. It can be an asset, actually.
You know, I've done a lot of things because of being blind that I would never have done were I sighted. And I guess when the difficult days come for me, when the painful days come, when I'm treated differently simply by virtue of the one thing that I seem to lack and how painful that can be, I really do try to remember that for me, in my circumstance, my blindness has been a great gift. It has allowed me to be in the pen with the MGM lion.
Okay.
It has allowed me to ride elephants, to just do things that I think I never would have had an opportunity to do had I been just a sighted person. So it's kind of a joy for me to hear you say that.
It really is, as I said, an asset. Because it really does make a lot of folks do a double take. And sometimes those of us who have something to say, hey, when they look back, then I guess there's an audience for us.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Robert, thank you so much for joining us on Blind Spot.
Hey, thank you very much for asking.
And again, Robert Newman's website is http://falcon.creighton.edu/VIP.
Oh, I'm a little cookie, yes I am, and I was made by the cookie man. On my way from the cookie pan, a little piece broke off of me. A little piece broke off of me, A little piece broke off of me, But I can't take just as good, as a regular cookie can. I'm a little chocolate bar, I am. I was made by the chocolate man. On my way to the chocolate stand, I got a little bend in me. I got a little bend in me, I got a little bend in me, But I can't taste just as good, as a regular chocolate bar can. Well, I'm a little Tootsie Roll, I am. And I was made by the Tootsie Roll man. On my way to Roland, I got a little twist in me. I got a little twist in me, I got a little twist in me, But I can't taste just as good, as a regular Tootsie Roll can.
Technical people, Chris Bell for making the music happen, and Jonathan Mosen for making the program possible. If you have any ideas for something you might like to hear on Blind Spot, drop me an email. It's Marlena, MARLAINA, @acbradio.org.